Father, we give you thanks and praise for your presence with us. We pray now that as we are in this Advent season, you would remind us of the reason for the season. Remind us that this is the time when we have an opportunity to show the world how much God really loves and cares. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that you would have your way with us in this service time. May all that we do give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
I invite you to join with us now in our litany for the second Sunday of Advent. If our lives are dry and parched, Lord, send the living waters of your Spirit to revive us, to enliven us, to bring forth new life.
Emmanuel, come quickly.
If our lives are empty and barren, Lord, grant us a rich harvest. Send us home with sheaves of blessing. Fill us with your abundance. Teach us to share the harvest with others.
Emmanuel, come quickly.
If our bodies are weary and heavy laden, Lord, fill us with laughter. Give us shouts of joy. Envelop us with your gladness.
Emmanuel, come quickly.
If our lives are small and trivial, Lord, make us see great things. Enlarge our vision. Widen our borders.
Emmanuel, come quickly.
You may be seated. At this time, we will light the Advent candle.
Now we light both the candle of watching and the second candle of Advent, the candle of preparation. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight. Build up the valleys and tear down the hills so that God's way is prepared. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and that her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her in full for all her sins. Listen, I hear a voice of someone shouting. Make a highway for the Lord through the wilderness. Make a straight, smooth road through the desert for our God. Fill the valleys and level the hills. Straighten out the curves and smooth off the rough spots. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. A voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Shout that people are like the grass that dies away. Their beauty fades as quickly as the beauty of their flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Lord of our God stands forever. Messenger of good news, shout to Zion from the mountaintops. Shout louder to your Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in all of his glorious power. He will rule with awesome strength. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. What preparations will help you be ready to receive Christ? What is God asking you to do to prepare your life and heart?
Let us pray. Loving God, we hear the noises of Christmas telling us to be ready with decorations and gifts. Help us to hear and follow the voice of your messenger who calls us to prepare the way of the Lord. May our hearts and lives be prepared for the coming of the Savior. Amen.
As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share? Thank you. Thank you.
And Dad's blood pressure came back down, and they don't seem to be concerned. I think it's just part of aging, maybe. I don't know.
we know what that's like, so yes. Jessica's husband, our son, HT, keep him in your prayers. Keep the Jones family in your prayers. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we see reminders of the season all around us, but somehow most of us just aren't ready for another Christmas. We pray that in this Advent season, that babe of the Bethlehem manger might be born anew and afresh in each one of our hearts. Remind us, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to be born to live, to die, to rise again. Remind us, Lord, that He has been tempted in all points like as we are. Thank you, Lord, that you understand what each one of us are going through. You understand the effects of aging on us. You understand the frailty of these human bodies. You understand the difficulties in relationships. You understand, Lord, that there's usually always too much month left at the end of the money. You understand that so often we become concerned and upset and frustrated and often even afraid. Remind us, Lord, to go back to that Bethlehem manger, to see again the Son of God born in the flesh and living among us. We pray today that you'd be with all of our troops all over the globe. We pray that you'd be with their families during this time of separation, especially at this time of the year. We pray that you would give them comfort and strength. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with those who are away from home, away from the path to their heavenly home, away from family and friends, away from those who should be closest to them in relationships, but are not. Thank you, Lord, for caring for us. We thank you, Lord, for all of the stories that we're hearing about those who are seeking to help those that are less fortunate, the hungry, the homeless, the hurting, the hopeless, the helpless. In this cold weather, Lord, we're so blessed to have heat, to have warm clothes, to have hot meals. Remind us there are so many that don't. Help us in this Christmas season that we might look for ways to give to you. You've said if we do it to the least of these, we've done it to you, Lord. So help us that whether it's buying a cup of coffee for somebody at McDonald's or paying for the car behind us in the drive-through line or whether it's someone on the street that's not asking for anything, but we just want to let them know that they're special. Thank you, Lord, for Rockwood United Methodist Church and for its faithfulness in serving you down through the years. We thank you, Lord, for those who have been here many years. We thank you for those who are relatively new here. Remind us that we're all brothers and sisters working together to build the kingdom of God. May we do your work and your will. May we be your Christmas people, not just December 25th, but every day of the year. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would the ushers please come forward? Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you now for all of your many wonderful gifts to us. We pray now that you'd bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen.
evening as we sing There's a Song in the Air.
Standing, if you would please, for the reading of the gospel from Matthew chapter 1. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to King David, and 14 from David's time to the Babylonian exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "don't be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and
It's great to have a real choir director here. All right. At the manger. You remember we talked last week about the fact that that trough that Jesus was born in is not special, except for the fact that that is where the Son of God was born. Just like with the cross. The cross is not special, except for the fact that that is where the Son of God gave his life that we might have eternal life. At the manger, we can claim the promise of Christmas. British poet and theologian G.K. Chesterton was noted for being absent-minded. Aren't you glad we don't have that problem? I've shared with you about the preacher that was talking to the senior citizens group, and he said, you know, at your age, you ought to think more about the hereafter. One guy raised his hand and said, preacher, I do all the time. He said, I'll go down in the basement, or I'll go out in the garage, and I'll look around and say, what am I hereafter? It wouldn't be quite so funny if it wasn't for the fact that I did that this morning. Walked into my office at home, and I thought, what am I hereafter? Okay, it happens. Anyway, he was absent-minded, especially when it came to getting lost. One day, this was before cell phones, mind you, before emails and all that sort of thing, he was out and about in his travels, and he was lost again. He couldn't remember where in the world he was headed and where he was supposed to be, so he telegraphed his wife and he said, where am I supposed to be? He waited there at the telegraph office and the reply came back before long, one word, home. That's what we find in Matthew chapter 1. Words to bring us home. Words to remind us of the true reason for the season. God is with us. Moses was trapped between the army of Egypt and the sea. He believed that God was with him. And God made a way through the impossible situation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could feel the heat of the furnace long before they even got close to it. Their situation was seemingly hopeless, but God was with them. What chance would a young boy with a slingshot have against a 9-foot-tall, battle-seasoned warrior in full armor? David believed God was with him, and God was. When the dust settled, Goliath was dead, and David was victorious. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew reminds us what Isaiah said there in chapter 7. His name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. If we dare to truly believe that God is with us, it'll transform our lives. Let me give you three areas where this promise rings true for each one of us. First of all, God is with us when we are frightened, when we're apprehensive, when we're fearful. You ever had an anxiety attack? I really didn't think that much about them till I had a couple. And then I realized what a difference it makes to know that no matter what's going to happen, God is with us. We all have times when we're frightened of one thing or another. You ever gone to the mailbox and pulled out a letter from the IRS? That'll do it. As we read the Gospels, we hear Jesus over and over and over talking about things like fear, being anxious, being troubled, being afraid. He saw the fear in the hearts and lives of those people whom he loved. And he said, "Fear not. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid." All around us today, we see those who are battling with their fears. Children who are afraid of the dark. Youth who are fearful about the challenges of life. Parents who are afraid for or of their children. The factory worker who's afraid of downsizing or outsourcing. The executive who fears that his or her job may be eliminated. Each of us has our fears. But when we go to that Bethlehem manger, we realize that here is Emmanuel, God with us. Well, among other things, I have a healthy respect for and perhaps even a fear of tornadoes. I've seen a bunch of them. I've pastored in Ohio and Missouri, where summer tornadoes were often daily occurrences. Went to college in Illinois. There was one time there when a bunch of us were out on the main street watching a tornado go over. You don't have to be dumb to do that, but it helps. Realizing that tornado could have come down at any time. It didn't, thank goodness. But the year before I arrived there, and I believe I've shared this with you, a year before I arrived at the college, in fact, not a year, it's about 6 months before, a tornado hit the college. There was a trailer park there for students, had about 58 mobile homes in it. 55 of them were destroyed. They found students' textbooks all the way over in Indiana. My neighbor across the street was talking to me one day, and she told about that tornado and seeing it coming across the cornfields. They didn't have sirens then. And she said she grabbed her son and they jumped under the dining room table just as the tornado hit the house. As soon as it had gone by, she ran over and opened the door to go upstairs. And she looked up the stairs and all she could see was gray, angry clouds. The entire roof of the house was gone, except for one little part of it that had fallen across the crib and protected the baby. There was another Midwest storm. Came up suddenly. There was a tornado, and an elementary school was in its path. The tornado warning sounded. Hurriedly, they ushered all the children down into the basement. The wind was blowing, the lightning was flashing, the windows were rattling. Everyone huddled together in that basement in fear. The principal suggested they sing songs, but fear prevailed. Finally, one of the teachers turned to the little girl beside her and said, "I know you're afraid, but I am too. But remember, God is with us. Pass it on." Each child turned to the next child or adult beside them and repeated the truth. God is with us. God is with us. God is with us. The wind was still blowing. The building was shaking. But in all that, tears and fears subsided, there was a sense of peace and courage. When the all clear was sounded, a calm, assured student body and faculty returned to their classrooms. Remember, when you are afraid, God is with us. Secondly, God is with us when we're lonely. We're surrounded by lonely people. You don't necessarily have to be alone to be lonely. Especially in the Christmas season, especially during the long, cold nights of winter. What a great time to go to the manger and realize Emmanuel, God is with us. Old Testament scholar Martin Buber was commenting on the scene in Exodus when God was speaking to Moses from the burning bush. Martin said that he was confident that through the years we have misinterpreted that verse. You remember when God spoke to Moses and Moses said, "Who am I going to tell the Israelites sent me?" And in the King James it says, "I am that I am." What does that mean? Well, Martin says he believes that it should translate, it should read, "I will be there." An Old Testament precursor of Emmanuel. Think about it. When you and I have to face the Pharaohs of our lives, the name of our God is, "I will be there." When we're afraid or hurting or sad, God is, "I will be there." When we're facing surgery or illness or death, God reminds us, "I will be there." Christmas reminds us that it is God's will that none should perish. God desires to seek out and save all of his children. When we're afraid, God is with us. When we're lonely, we're not alone. Emmanuel, God is with us. And then thirdly, God is with us when we are in sorrow. It seems right that we would feel God's presence when everything is going well, when we're on top of the world and everything's going our way. But we need to realize, you remember on the cross, Jesus quoted from Psalms and said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I've heard preachers say, "Oh, God had to turn his back on Jesus when Jesus was on the cross. God had to separate himself." I don't think so. I believe that never was God the Father closer to God the Son than when Jesus was hanging on the cross there in agony. I believe in our lives, never is God closer to us than in those times when we're feeling suffering and anguish and pain and agony and grief. Oh, we don't always feel him. We feel like God must be a million miles away, but God is right there with you and me. He's never closer to us than when we're hurting. There are two reasons for this. First, we're more open to God when we're in need. And secondly, God loves and cares for each one of us, and God wants to be near us when we're in pain. When a child comes running to us hurting, hopefully we don't push them away. We draw them in close. We want to do all that we can to ease that suffering. In your worship folder on the sermon outline is a poem written by Robert McMullen. entitled Prayers in a Hospital Elevator. It has two verses. One is going up, the other one's going down. What am I going to say to him, Lord? He's dying. But the family doesn't want him to know. They're having trouble facing it. Shall I be cheerful or solemn? Either way, I'd be self-conscious, and that's no good. Do I play games and pretend he'll get well? What would you do, Lord? Maybe I should pray with him. He is a Christian. But would praying with him make him think that I thought he was dying? I wish I knew what to do, Lord. Excuse me, this is my floor. Going down. Well, Lord, that was a surprise. I hardly said a word. It was he who did the talking. The smile on his pale face almost broke me up. He seemed glad to see me, and he held my hand so tight. How concerned he was about his family. At a time like that, it made me feel pretty small. When he said he knew that he would not leave the room alive, I actually felt relieved that he knew. When he said he was not afraid, he had no regrets, I could have cried. And when we prayed together, I was convinced, as he already was, that death is nothing to fear. So why was I worried about visiting him? Didn't I know all along that you would be there, Lord? When we come to the manger, we discover Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us when we're afraid, when we're lonely, when we're in sorrow, and so many other times. I invite you, I urge you, this Christmas season to remember Emmanuel. God is with us. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that we might discover anew the reason for the season. Remind us, Lord, that the Bible doesn't say that God so loved that he looked forward to getting all kinds of gifts from us. It says he so loved that he gave. Help us that we might look for ways to give, not just to exchange gifts. Well, they gave me a gift last year, I better give them one this year. Help us to look for ways that we can give to people that will never, ever, ever be able to repay us. Maybe they'll never even know who gave it to them. Help us that we might look for ways to share your love. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was working on the service this past week, I was looking for a closing hymn. Something Christmassy, of course. And I came up with a hymn that we've sung before that's not really listed as a Christmas song. But listen to it in terms of Christmas. There have been times when giving and loving brought pain, and I promised I'd never let it happen again. But I found out that loving was well worth the risk, and that even in losing, you win. He showed us that only through dying we live. He gave when it seemed there was nothing to give. He loved us when loving brought heartache and loss. He forgave from an old rugged cross. This Christmas season, make it not just a song of your lips, but a song of your heart. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. I'm going to love, love till there's just no more love. But I could never, never outlove the Lord. We give by the thimble full, and God gives back to us by the dump truck load. You're never going to catch up with God at that rate. I dare you.
Try to outgive and outlove God and watch what happens. May you leave this place filled to overflowing with God's loving grace because you've been to the manger. You have seen Emmanuel, God with us. Go now and share that loving grace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.